Welcome back to Startup Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. This week, welcoming in Emily Gimmel, founder of The Grace Ship, which manufactures computer laptop bags, and getting into other business accessories for stylish ladies on the go, and perhaps even men. You never know. Emily is a former TV newscaster, morphing into a TV reality star in the Southern Bells Louisville program of a couple of years ago. Also went to work in Las Vegas as an online reporter for a startup out there called 702.tv with a guy named Rob Curley, a guy whose career I greatly admire. So look him up on Twitter. He's a smart guy. We talk a little bit about the story of Grace Ship and all the little things that sort of went into her business model and how she put this whole thing together and the things that she had to consider when really coming up with a product and how you're going to manufacture that and the sources of all this stuff. And we talk about finding balance in life when she's really the only employee of this startup, relying on strategic partnerships and other resources to get things done on a daily basis. And we talk about the agonizing process of waiting for something to get to market that is, you know, manufacturing. You have a lot of other considerations that you may not have in a tech business. So we kind of touch on how that felt to have this idea and have to wait so long for it to really hit the streets. I'm working pretty hard at getting this website thing, the podcast, to be mobile. I'm experiencing a little bit of problem with our Google Play app. You can look us up in the iTunes store. You might do a search for Dan Vonderhyde. That might give you a better result in the search. There's a lot of startup stuff in there. And we're working with WordPress, of course. I'm kind of a noob at that, to make it more of a mobile-friendly experience so you can consume these things wherever and whenever you want to. So make sure you hit us up on the website. If you have any guests, anybody in mind at all that you think might be a good guest on the show, by all means, email me, startup@podcrunch.com, and we'll try to get everything scheduled. All right, so here we go with the Grace Ship's Emily Gimmel.
I don't miss Vegas.
That would be terrible.
But there's certain things that... I don't know. I miss the interesting people in the city, not necessarily that live there, but the people that visit there.
Okay. And they're mostly visiting, right? Like, yeah. I guess there are people that's a big city, though. How many hundreds of thousands of,
it's almost, or million? It's probably about a million.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's a little bit smaller than Louisville, maybe.
But it's so much more exciting.
It gets old.
Yeah, I'll bet. It gets old after 3 days. I've been there a couple of times, and I can't. One of them was my brother's bachelor party, so that was a little different. I would love to take my wife just to see the stuff. It's like, look, there's a pyramid. Look, there's a castle. Look, you know, it's just the scope of things and is cool, but the stuff that goes on around it, she would hate it. Which, you know.
Yeah, it gets old. I kind of call it like the West Coast version of Jersey Shore.
That's probably pretty accurate.
Well, but I loved my job there. I loved it.
It's Louisville's so cool. You know, I grew up near here, and I didn't grow up here, but near here. And I got out of school and moved to Fort Myers and Naples, and right before I started working at the other place. And it's just so familiar and organic. You know,
there's good and restaurants here,
and it's really grown. Not necessarily in size, but in relevance, I guess. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
I think so. I agree.
Okay. But you grew up here. Mm-hmm. So you have a pretty big network of people that you know, right? On which you can draw.
But I've been gone for 10 years.
Yeah, you're so right. Where were your stops before this? You did...
Lexington, Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, that's right.
And then Las Vegas.
Okay. Indianapolis is cool, too. But I'm a Ball State guy, so I spent a little bit of time there. Not enough. I still have friends there. And now you're here, and this has been in the works for?
2 years.
2 years. That real quick, just kind of give us the general overview.
We're recording? I didn't even know we're recording.
Always, man.
Oh, okay.
When I open the door that clicks on, I'll find a way to ease into it.
Okay.
What's the general overview of?
Of Graceship?
Yeah.
Graceship is a new online business. We sell computer bags exclusively for women.
Online only?
Online right now. Okay. We will expand into certain bricks and mortar retail stores in the future. We're looking at a couple of boutiques here in Louisville, but we want to strategically expand and make sure we don't grow too fast or just make the wrong decisions.
Well, and you said 2 years, right? Like you've been...
From concept to market, it was a little over 2 years.
And you've been pretty good. Like I've, you know, connected with you on Twitter and Facebook and the whole thing, and you've been pretty good about, you know, we're doing this thing and I'm excited and we're in this phase and we're in this phase. And a lot of stuff has launched in those 2 years, not necessarily competitively, but in the world of media and tech stuff, you know, oh my gosh, 2 years is forever. Did you just have different challenges you had to overcome, or was this your planning was so deliberate? You had to get this right before you were going to push it out there.
There's tons of challenges. I mean, starting a business is no easy task, and I think it just really depended on which phase we were in, what challenges that we had. I think it just, you know, really being successful or making it to the marketplace where I am now, it's just overseeing those problems and persevering through them.
Was it, I mean, were there points where you were freaking out? Like, I want to get, oh my gosh, I've got to get this thing out there. I'm so tired of waiting.
There was, you know, the first step was trying to figure out how to start the business, how I was going to fund it, how I was going to enter the market, who was going to make the product, where I was going to live initially, because I made a huge career change doing this. And there's constantly challenges. There's still challenges today, every day.
That's part of business. But I'm just, when you came in here, I said most of the people I've had in to talk have a service or software or tech, some sort. They didn't have a product. And the one guy I did have that did manufacturing has run, he's taken over a 70-year-old company, and he's sort of restarting it with a new culture and new product lines and stuff. So he didn't have all of the, where are we going to make this stuff? Well, he owns the plant, so it's a little different. Is one of the challenges like the state of American manufacturing and competing with overseas stuff and figuring out where am I going to get this done?
Well, I wish we could manufacture in America, but we can't. There's really not any factories here that can do cut and sew to the extent that we need it and at the level that we need it. So,
but that was something you had to discover.
And I had to discover that on my own.
Right.
I ended up flying to China and trekking around the country looking at different factories. And I interviewed several, met with several, tested several. And then finally, after comparing our candidates, decided on this factory.
So it was like... I mean, how long of a process was that? That's like a huge step.
Right.
That's the step. Right.
Well, it's a major step.
Yeah.
Figuring out our manufacturer, I don't know how long it took exactly. It was a lot of trial and error. You wanted to see what people, how well they could follow directions, how well their products were made, how easy they were to work with, how good of English they spoke.
Right.
Do
they eat lizards? Like lizards,
cats.
Snake heads and whatever.
But
I'm so culturally ignorant.
I loved China. I could live in Hong Kong easily. I spent some time there. I wish I could spend more. I want to go back soon.
Well, you have an excuse.
Yeah. Hong Kong is amazing. Shanghai is amazing. It's so westernized. There's obviously areas that aren't nearly as westernized, but the cores of the city are just gorgeous. Lots to do, lots going on.
There's a where I buy my, you know, General Tso chicken. They have a poster of Hong Kong, and I go in to pick up my, you know, my food, and I'm just staring at that poster like, wow, there's so much going on. I'm such a small town.
The best way to describe Hong Kong, I think, if New York were in San Francisco, that's Hong Kong. So it's a very coastal Pacific feeling city with, you know, the water and the hills, the mountains around San Francisco. But it has the hustle and bustle of New York.
Kind of gotten off topic, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to me.
All the bags are named after cities. So we have a Hong Kong bag on the way.
What are the other names then?
London, New York, and Chicago.
Oh, okay. And do they all reflect the personality of that city?
Absolutely.
Well, go on. How did that come to be? Like, where did that idea come from?
That idea came from the fact that I really view Grayship as, obviously, we're a startup, we're a local business, we're located in Louisville, but I see us as a global company. We can ship product anywhere in the world. There's customers outside of America, obviously. 95% of the world's GDP is outside of the U.S. So we want to ship anywhere. And I wanted to really kind of build, that's why it's Grayship. It's a very global word. And I wanted to have a global representation around through the product. And so we picked fabulous cities around the world. And kind of a lot of it has to do with what I was inspired by in that design and what it looked like. And then that's how the names would develop.
London comes with a built-in umbrella. Chicago comes with a built-in windbreaker. Am I generalizing here?
Kind of. I wish. No, Chicago's a little more playful, all-American, a little more casual. London is a timeless classic. London's right behind you. It's a very, timeless kind of old-time feel, but it's
very
classic.
Lightweight.
They are.
I mean, obviously,
lightweight.
It needs to be, considering what you're going to lug around in.
And then New York is your go-to sleek, chic,
right,
power bag.
That's cool. And, I mean, when you got the first one, did you just freak out?
Well, these weren't the first ones that I received. I mean, you had, part of what takes the process so long is perfecting the product. And you've got a translation issue sometimes. You have...
freaked out in a bad way.
No, it was great, but there was still a lot of work. And I still look at these bags and I still see progress to be made on them.
Oh, okay.
And well, as far as...
That's healthy.
Just really always listening to our customers and always trying to learn as we grow. And, I'm never fully satisfied. I want the product to continue to innovate as time goes on.
Right. That's cool. It's a little weird, and I just kind of thought of this when I picked up the bag, that we are entering this sort of mobile phase of life. And, I've got my phone here, and I got my tablet repaired. I'm so excited I have my tablet repaired. I mean, is that something you're seeing as an opportunity to expand? Like, this holds a laptop computer.
Absolutely.
Right? And there's a market for laptops, and there's not much of a market for desktops anymore.
Right.
I mean, that's starting to shrink. But is that something that you planned on your roadmap? Like, we get into the tablet business. That's...
Sure. Computer Clutch, that'll be the next product on our list.
Oh, see? All right.
And these will hold tablets, safely transport them. They'll hold up to a 15.4-inch computer.
Okay.
And Grace, it's means to move in a manner that's pleasant. And we're all about moving and going places. We like to say we're making products for women going places.
All right.
And so, yes, I absolutely see it as a mobile brand, and we'll expand as we grow.
Where did you do, all your thinking about this stuff? I mean, I read the story, and everybody, you should go to thegrayship.com and read the story about how you were in the Atlanta airport. You're like, yeah, you're just overwhelmed with all the stuff that you had and the clunky bag, I guess, that you were carrying. And so that was the seed of the idea, right? Where do you go to think about all this other stuff? Like, to get in your creative space or, to sitting at looking at a blank computer screen, that can't be it. There has to be someplace zen where you disappear to.
Not really. I think I'm very much a person that loves to learn. So I'd go to a lot of people just that I respect professionally, either personally or maybe just researching them on the internet and kind of seeing how they did business, seeing how they develop their ideas and, doing that and then maybe mixing it with
bowling.
A bottle of wine or so.
Oh, I was going to say bowling, like just clearing your head out by doing something. Like, I'm cut the grass. I get the best ideas when I cut the grass because my mind is just empty. So That's all. It it's such a creative thing. I'm totally curious where all of this comes from.
It develops over time. You know, I get ideas driving down the road. I get ideas while I'm in the shower. It varies, and you just, you know, I think you have to. Part of the most difficult part is knowing what ideas to focus on and what ideas, you know, to leave, you know, on the back burner.
You have a sounding board that you go to like work all this stuff out. A person or a group of people, or.
I've had a couple advisors. We don't officially have a board. I would like to build a board of advisors at some point.
I accept.
Yeah, okay.
No.
But right now it's more just, right now it's all about profitability. You know, what's going to make us money initially, because cash flow, obviously, as a business is crucial as a startup.
And you have hard costs, right? With material and stuff. Mm-hmm. A guy developing an app or a piece of software, he probably already owns his computer and the program he's using to write it.
Right.
So where did you come up with it? Are you like venture funded? Are you self-funded? Are you looking to take on partners that...
I'm not looking for partners at this time.
Okay.
I'm definitely never say never. I'm not to the place yet. I have certain goals personally that I want to achieve.
Okay.
I'm always open to collaborating with people. The business, to answer your question, the business itself was funded through both a bank loan and then personal funding.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're just totally bootstrapping here. Like, that's brave. Mm-hmm. That's cool. 2 years you're planning this thing and you're in it every day. You're living it every day. Was it like planned out 100%? Or did you leave anything to chance, like, you know, we need to test market this stuff? These are your ideas. When the rubber hits the road, like how did you know that you were on the right path with what you were designing here?
I used my friends as a lot of inspiration. I mean, I'm a woman designing for my peers.
Okay.
I'm not a 60-year-old marketing executive trying to come up with a bag I think the opposite sex wants that's 20 years younger than me. 40 years younger than me.
The European carry-all for men will never catch on.
Maybe.
I don't think so. But then again, I'm about to turn 40, so I'm pretty much leaving hip demographic.
Yeah. Well,
I left it 5 years ago. What am I saying?
I think 40's still hip. It is.
Yeah.
It is. No, but we I did a lot of surveys with friends and colleagues. I mean, I'm designing products for my friends and their friends, so I was pretty familiar with my market and what they wanted.
And it's, you know, scoping out competitors and potential competitors and what they were doing. So you're creating jobs somewhere, somehow. Mm-hmm. You're an entrepreneur. You're a job creator. Kudos. Do you have people working for you then?
We have several interns right now.
Okay.
And then we have several strategic partnerships. So what I've built is a very lean business model where we have very low overhead right now. And a lot of our partnerships don't get paid unless we get paid. And we've got 4 people on the ground in China that help with our product, with the factory. We've got a fulfillment company. We work with UPS. And then we also have interns. I hope to hire my first employee this summer.
Cool. What are the interns spending their time doing? I mean,
a lot of it is marketing, research, a lot of database type things. Helping set up with an event. We had events today. We had a luncheon. So helping, you know, me as one person, it's very difficult to set up an entire booth all by yourself.
Sure.
And so things like that.
You're going back to your radio promotion days for that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
I know how to do a pop-up tent.
Yeah, exactly. So
hang the banner at eye level or above.
Yeah, I think, for me, I'm a very creative, I like to think I'm a creative person, and I have tons and tons of ideas, and I can only do so much at once. So
yeah, that's
certain
the
things
challenge.
Like phone calls and in emails that they'll be instructed to do. That's kind of what the interns. It's different every day because we're a small business,
right? And that's really the balancing act of having something that you want to do and trying to carve up your day to focus on the stuff that's important that is going to make a difference not only that day but in the big picture. And I mean, discerning where that tipping point is, like, oh my gosh, I need help, and having and where to find that stuff. That's like, is that somebody something you reply on your friends or your resources to say, I need help with this. Who can I get, or who should I? Or how is it time now? Is this the time to go hire somebody? So is that like?
Well, I think a lot of that is, you know, dependent on how profitable you are and if you're capable of hiring someone yet. But not only focus, execution, I think for me, that's, you know, the second most important thing. Obviously, once you focus in, you have to execute on those ideas. You can come up with great ideas all the time, but you really have to finish it out from A to Z in order to see some sort of return on your time and investment.
It's just, yeah. I mean, when I have people in here and they talk about how they figure out what they're going to do that day, but they have their roadmap, and then, you know, it can get overwhelming. One person? Are you kidding me? A one person manufacturing company?
You should see my to-do list.
I'll bet. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time to come here. Like, oh my gosh, I've got to go do that podcast.
Not at all.
Tell me about the partnership you have with One Economy.
One Economy. Yeah. They are a global nonprofit that we work with. And what they do is help improve low-income technologies, internet, in poor areas around the country and the world. They bring the internet to these places, to these communities. And so a portion of every sale that we make will help support them and hopefully bring, you know, immediate knowledge to more people around the world.
How did you come to be involved with them, and why?
I came involved with them because I reached out to them. I found out about them when I was traveling. Google actually had sponsored free Wi-Fi at an airport and said that the resources were going to this company. I checked out the organization, and they were really, their goals were kind of very on par with mine. My background was TV, so I've always liked to empower and enlighten people, and I think that's what they're doing. When you bring the internet to people that don't have it, you're empowering them with tools, information, education, job opportunities. And so it's kind of the same. I feel like it's the same mentality I've always had. It's just kind of evolved with my business.
Well, it's a cool aspect of what you're doing. Like, it's, you know, the evil corporation. Of course, you're not a startup corporation, but you have a kind-hearted side to you. To what's going on. It's
not only that, I would say small is the new big in this economy. And I think a lot of these, you know, big Wall Street companies or just big companies, they're just huge, and they have way too much overhead and too many people, and they have communication issues. And I think anyone now can join the economy. All you have to do is have a little bit of creativity and, you know, some tenacity and an internet.
It is. Yeah, the internet is like completely revolutionized how people do this sort of thing. Where anybody can collect, I don't know, Kiss dolls or something and develop a business out of Kiss dolls thanks to the internet. And yeah. it's a wonderful thing. And so that's sort of, maybe it's a ways down the road where these emerging countries that One Economy is helping realizes that. And I don't know how many Kiss dolls they have in Malaysia.
Well, I'm sure, you know
action figures, not dolls, not dolls.
Even education opportunities or I think being able to cut down cultural barriers is really fascinating to me. If you like, you know, soccer, you can connect with anyone around
Nobody
the world.
Nobody likes soccer. Not here.
Maybe not here, but some people somewhere do.
I'm a little biased. Baseball. It's just my thing. Okay, so you're running this manufacturing company. You, a small group of interns, and perhaps some family members who are volunteering some time and effort. How are you finding balance in your life? Or are you finding balance?
I'm now, I think, finding a routine for the first time. Since the first 2 years, I just felt like I had so much to prove, and I wanted to get to market, and I wasn't exactly sure what I was doing some of the times. You know, I was trying and then failing and then would try something different until I just kept persevering. now that I have a business, we have an office space that is very chic and that I like.
That's official.
Yeah.
Where is that?
We're on Story Avenue in Butchertown Market.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Now I have more of a routine, and I wouldn't say balanced, but I can shut it off now a little more easily.
Okay.
And I'm passionate about what I do, and I love it. So it doesn't make it seem like work so much.
Is that, is there some point where you realized, like, the light bulb went off, where you're like, okay, I think we've got something here, and I can take a weekend and go do something?
I think hitting the marketplace was such a huge achievement for me. We just entered the market 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
We are in pre-sales right now, and I guess by the time this airs, we won't be in pre-sales. But hitting the market, there's nothing like the feeling of just seeing an order come through. It is so gratifying and makes everything worthwhile. So I think hitting the market, before that, you always felt so close, but there was still more to be done. And you weren't quite there.
There's always more to be done. Right. I mean, that's is that the lesson to be learned here?
Well, there's always more to be done, but I think being able to offer people something, a service or a product, and I think looking back, that's one thing I would change. I would have gotten to the marketplace faster instead of...
You answered my next question.
Yeah, but I think just being able to offer, because that's what it's about. A business has to have customers. So being able to connect with customers and, get feedback from them and receive their orders, that makes it kind of a chip off your shoulder, I think. It's a little more...
It's validating.
Yeah,
if nothing,
absolutely.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh, I had an idea and I did it. I mean, and that's the thing that I want people to take away from listening to these podcasts is, people walking down the street have ideas for something like this. And what is the enormous percentage of them that don't execute on it? Or they just think, well, when the time is right or when the circumstances are right. And I want to have people like you in because it encourages other people to do it. And, there's always going to be a reason to not do it. Mm-hmm. But there's one great reason to actually do it, and that's because that's your dream. And it's kind of, wishy-washy, but that's why we're doing it, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think that and women need hot laptop bags because there's none out there. I really felt like it was something that not only I wanted to do, but I needed to do just because there's not a lot of options. And I wanted to fill that niche.
Well, how do we connect with you online?
You can go to our website, which is thegraceship.com. And
you blog regularly there?
Yes, so, we blog all about living well in a digital world.
Okay.
So you can check out us for tips on technology, incorporating technology, different websites, cool stuff we find. I found a website, actually, where you can get subscription underwear. So if you're too busy.
You left me speechless.
You can get, it's called Man Packs. We find all kinds of interesting stuff all over the internet.
I signed up for the Dollar Shave Club.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the Dollar Shave Club thing? Just, it's the best example of somebody who launched it's Netflix for your face is what it is. Or if you're a lady, it's Netflix for your legs and shave your leg. And they send you razors on a periodic basis. It's the weirdest. But the commercial they put up on YouTube is great. It's like, I don't know whether the guy in the video is the real guy, I don't know. If he is, he's a genius. Anyhow, so is that kind of what the...
Yeah, everything about, some of it's beauty tips, fashion things. We feature women we love, so inspirational women to the brand. But mostly it's all about anything and everything that's living well in a digital world. That's what we do.
And on Twitter?
We're on Twitter, twitter.com/thegrace, or actually Graceship.
Okay.
And Facebook, facebook.com/Graceship.
Cool. We're looking for great things from you.
Thank you.
We'll check in with you later.